Morning, church.
Today's Bible reading comes from Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 to 21. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the sky and count the stars. If indeed you can count them, then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. He also said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of the Chaldeans to give you this land to take possession of it. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of it? So the Lord said to him, Bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. Abram brought all these to him, cut them in two, and arranged the halves opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. Then the birds of prey came down on the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, Know for certain that for 400 years your descendants will be strangers, in a country not their own, and that they will be enslaved and mistreated there. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your ancestors in peace and be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. When the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking fire pot with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, To your descendants I give this land, from the water of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, Kenizzites, Kadmonites, Hittites, Perizzites, Rephites, Amorites, Canaanites, Girishites and Jebusites. These are God's words. Thank you.
Thanks, Andy. Well done with those names. Keep that Bible reading open in front of you if you have it in as a hard copy or in your devices. We're going to spend some time in that. But allow me to pray before we come to God's word. Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks and praise for your word. And Lord, we pray as we spend some time thinking about it and meditating and thinking how you challenge us and encourage us, we pray. May our Holy Spirit be at work in this time and bringing the desired outcome of your will in our lives. And we ask this for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week I got a text message during the week from someone that occasionally messages me, and it said, I'm really sorry that I couldn't turn up the other day, but I was wondering if I could get a bag of food from you. And this is a guy who used to come and take some food from us. And I replied back and said, okay, meet me at 2:30 at the church. And he replied saying, yes, I can come to church at 2:30. I'll see you then. So I had a couple of bags prepared for him, ready to go. 2:30 came, 3:30 came, 4:30 came. He never turned up. So as you might have gathered, this is not the first time he's done that. So perhaps you have similar experiences, right? When it is really hard to trust someone when they don't keep their word. When they fail to, do something that they have said. And I wonder, as you are reading Genesis chapter 15, if this is where Abram found himself in chapter 15. Back in chapter 12, after believing in these great promises of God for land, for children and blessing, Abram became landless. He became familyless. He travels thousands of kilometers, and Abram builds altars to God. He worships and calls on his name. You see, he must have had great expectations, great hopes of this brand new God that he has started following. But when we come to chapter 15, the chapter that we read this morning, we sense that Abram is a little bit flat. He's a bit disappointed. Verses 2 and 3, Abram questions God about the promise of children. Because he remains childless. He blames God for not giving him children. Come down to verse 8. He's not sure whether God can actually give him the land, the promised land that he promised. Because there are people living in the land. Yes, these are great promises, but so far it's been just that. Right? Just promises, words, without any actions. So we find Abram's faith is a bit wobbly. He needs something to hang on to, hold on to, a crutch to lean on to help him walk. I wonder whether you find yourself in those situations. You maybe prayed for something for a while and there are no answers. You're trusting in God's promises and time is running out and you begin to wonder, is trusting in God, was that the right thing to do? It's hard, isn't it? It is hard. So this morning, we're not going to ask the question, what can we do to keep trusting in God? We're going to turn it around and ask, rather, what is God doing to help us to keep trusting in Him? What does God do to help us keep trusting in Him? What does He do? He gives crutches. He gives crutches for us to help. And that's what Genesis 15 is about, faith and crutches. Let's find out what it is. I want to briefly look at six crutches, six ways that God allows or gives Abraham to help and gives us to help us keep believing in Him. The very first thing, you can't miss that, it is the Word of God. In this whole chapter, Abraham only speaks twice, verse 2 and 3 and verse 8, when he kind of complains, he protests. But in response, God speaks six times. When Abraham is afraid in verse 1, the word of the Lord comes in a vision and says, "Don't be afraid, I'm your great reward." Verse 4, the word of the Lord comes removing any doubts that who's going to inherit Abraham's inheritance. And it is going to be someone from his own body. Verse 7, he reminds him of the past. Verse 9, God commands him to do certain things. Bring me this, bring me that. And when Abraham is anxious about how the future is going to be, verses 13 to 16, you will read that God speaks and reveals His plan, the future. In verse 18, God actually gives him the words of the covenant. So I hope you get the point. One of the important and the most helpful crutches that God gives His people to keep believing in Him is His eternal, powerful, inerrant Word. It is in His word that we find his character, who he is, what he is like. It is in his word that we find what he has done and what he can do, his power, his wisdom. He has a word for every season. When we feel weak, when we have doubts, or when we are anxious, joyful, fallen into sin. And the psalmist says it is a lamp unto our feet. Now, if you have ever tried to put a flat pack together, you know that it is an utter foolish thing to get rid of the instruction manual. You need that. You need that. I mean, you can come up with something, your imagination, but it's not going to be like what you wanted, or it's going to be very wobbly. But how wise, how unwise would it be to distance ourselves from the Word of God? Because we are going to miss hearing from God. We're going to miss hearing His direction. We're going to miss His love, His correction, His comfort, His encouragement, miss knowing His purposes for our lives. And this is why here at BCCB we encourage people to get our hands and minds, and I'm going to use the word dirty, but you know, you get the point, right? In the Word of God. So if you're not of a habit, a regular habit of spending time in God's Word, let me encourage you to get into a good habit of reading and meditating God's Word regularly. You might want to get involved or get into a growth group. Use an app like YouVersion, Bible app, or something to help you to get into God's Word, because God gives His Word to help us to grow in our faith, to keep believing in Him. And the second way God helps us to, or Abraham and us to keep believing is He gives us the big picture, doesn't He? He gives us the big picture. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we were given a jigsaw puzzle for us to work through, because we don't have enough time, we don't have work to do, so we were given this to do. It had thousands of pieces, like little small pieces. Like, it said 300, but it felt like thousands. And so we spent about 8 days trying to put this together, and I think it was on Thursday, wasn't it? Thursday midnight or Friday? Yeah, one of those nights, just before midnight, we finished it. We got it together, and we did it. It was hard. But what helped us was this picture. This picture, isn't it? We had to constantly look at it to get a sense of, this piece goes here, and how all this fits together. I guess this is what God does with Abraham. When he's finding himself hard to try and fit all the pieces together and with his current circumstances, all the promises together and the circumstances. Verse 5, God takes Abram out to the open field and he says, look at the sky. As far as your eye can see, stars. Millions and billions of them. And he says, this is how many children, this is how your offspring is going to be. He said, God gives him the big picture, the final picture. And do you know who God was talking about? He was talking about you and me. 4,000 years later, the church, millions and millions of Christians all over the world. And whenever Abram doubted, I'm sure he had to just go out to the field and look at the sky and remind himself of God's big picture. Now, we too have a big picture, don't we? Not just Abram. We have the final picture. We know what would happen at the end. In 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul says that our sickly, sinful, dead, stricken bodies will be replaced by glorious bodies like of Jesus. The book of Revelation gives a bit of a sneak peek, a preview of what is to come in human language, and the New Jerusalem, where we will be with God forever. A place of prosperity, security, and plenty. A place where there's no more pain and sickness and sorrow and death, where God will wipe off every tear from their eyes. Why has God given us this preview? To look at it, to read it, to think about it, meditate on it, especially when it is hard to keep trusting in God. When cancer breaks in, when anxiety and fear creeps in, when we hear of wars and rumors of wars, when we are surrounded by domestic violence and death, and when we hear about child abuse and freak accidents, we need to take out this picture and have a look at it if we want to keep trusting in God. The third thing that keeps us trusting in Him is actually a relationship. A relationship. The natural thing to do is when we trust someone, when we have a relationship with them, right? Husbands and wives, you trust each other because you know each other intimately. I guess that's what God does with Abram. In verse 6, we are told that Abram believed, and God credited it to him as righteousness. Now, righteousness is to have a right relationship with God. It is another word for relationship, right relationship. And here, God enters into a right personal relationship with Abram. Not because Abram was good, not because he had obeyed the Ten Commandments, those were not even given at this time. Simply because he trusted in God. God gives Abram a relationship with him, to help him to keep trusting in him. Now, if you have believed in Jesus this morning, we too have this privilege, don't we? God has given us a right relationship, a personal relationship with him. No longer enemies, he calls us. He calls us children. Children of God. It is an opportunity for us to get to know God and spend time with Him, and even access the very throne of God to receive mercy in times of need. Now, perhaps this morning, some of you don't have that relationship. You don't have a personal relationship. You probably know of Him, but you don't have a personal relationship with Him. And if that is you, why won't you? Because it will help you keep believing in God, find hope and security. Most importantly, it will give you access to eternal life with God. So if that is you, happy to chat with you today or in the days to come if you like. Because God gives us a relationship so that we can walk with Him, trusting in Him. Fourth thing that God gives us is a look at the past. Now, if you are still using Facebook, you know what it means, where you are constantly given memories, 10 years, 20 years, 1 year. In verse 7, if you look, God gives Abram a blast from the past, right? He says, I am the God who brought you out of Ur, the land of the Chaldeans, to give you this land. See what God is doing here? He reminds Abram of the very first interaction that he had with God. How God appeared to Abram. The promises he gave. The way Abram responded. How God brought him out of worshipping idols to worship him. I think every so often we need to take time to remember those days in our own lives, isn't it? We need to remember perhaps the day we were converted, the way the day we got baptized. I wonder whether you kept note of that. You should. Maybe a time where God did something so amazing, like a miracle. I mean, Foster and I, we constantly look back. If you have spent time with us, we always tell this story about 12, 13 years ago, how God rescued us from an accident back in Sri Lanka. You know, looking back can be depressing, hurtful for some, but for Christians, it is one way God helps us to keep believing in Him, right? Even the hurtful times, friends, can be reminders of God's faithfulness. So we can trust in His promises for the present and the future. Now, if you use Google Maps, the moment you type in an address, you will see a preview of where you are going, your destination, the roadblocks, the toll roads, and the traffic, and all those things. And I guess the next thing God does with Abraham is actually to give him a preview of the plan. A preview of the plan. Because it helps us to know, isn't it, to know, like, okay, what's going to happen. So if you look at verses 13 to 16, God gives Abram a preview of the road to the promised land. It says, like, Abram will die, and he'll be buried, and his descendants will grow, and they will be slaves in a foreign land for 400 years. And in the fourth generation, they will get the promised land. And as they come, they will bring God's judgment on the nations who have continued to rebel against God. Now, why does God give Abram this plan? To help them, even in times of suffering, to trust in Him. Because as you see, the road to the promised land is not a straight road. It's marked with suffering. Glory comes after suffering. In John chapter 16, Jesus does something similar, right, to his disciples. He says something similar to his disciples. He says, you know, He's going to die very soon. And he talks about coming of the Holy Spirit. He talks about the struggles that they will have, that they will be scattered, and then it'll be a hard time ahead. And he ends that chapter, John chapter 16. He ends it with these words. He says, I have told you these things so that in me you have peace. In this world you will have trouble. I mean, who would say that? Unless someone who is trustworthy. But he says, take heart. I have overcome the world. Why does he do that? Because he wants us to keep trusting in him, knowing that even the suffering is part of God's plan, and that he will use even those seasons to bring us closer to him, and at the end, that he will win. He will win. God reveals the plan so that we can trust in him. Finally, he cuts a covenant with Abraham, right? He cuts a covenant. Now, if all of us, regardless of who we are, we all enter into agreements one time or another. Sometimes we enter into agreements every day. When we go into a shopping center, we have to abide by their rules and regulations. We don't sign anything. But if you buy a land or if you're getting into a new phone contract or a dealer, you have to sign a contract. You have to sign a deal. Now, sign an agreement. Now, agreement is another fancy word for covenant. That's what's happening in verses 9 to 20 in this chapter. God actually cuts a covenant. He enters into an agreement with Abram and his descendants. Now, we have this very weird ceremony here, right? Now, it is very foreign to us. And this is actually how in the ancient days people made covenants, agreements with each other. We have animals brought and cut into half, and they are placed like opposite each other, and there's a path in between. And once all these are arranged, the halves on the opposite sides, and the two parties actually walk between the two halves of the dead animals. It is to say, if either party fails to the covenant terms, we would be cursed. We would be as dead, like these dead animals that we find on the side. Now notice what happens in verse 17. We don't have two parties walking through these dead animals. There's only one party walking. God, who is represented by a smoking fire pot, walks between the two halves. Abraham is out. He's gone. He's sleeping. He's not participating in this. Do you see what is happening here? God, basically, he takes the responsibility and the curse for both parties. It is like somebody taking an agreement, like if you're buying a property, you take the agreement and you sign for both parties. If either party fails to live up to the covenant, God says, I will bear the responsibility. I will take the covenant curses on myself. Why does God cut a covenant with Abraham? He doesn't have to do that. He does that. He does that to show how serious he is to his commitments, right? To assure Abraham that he's dead serious about his promises. And this covenant helps Abraham to keep believing in God, even in times of tough seasons. Even when he has failed to keep his end of the deal, even when he has fallen into sin, the covenant assures that God will take full responsibility. And for us, living on this side of the cross, we see how this covenant was fulfilled in Jesus, don't we? In Galatians chapter 3, verse 10 to 14, we are told that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For as it is written, cursed is one who is hung on a pole. Jesus takes our curse on him. He is killed on a cross for our sins. Our covenant breaking is taken on him so that we might have all the blessings, all the covenant promises given to Abraham. Do you see how God has delivered his promise? Now, do you remember what Jesus does just before he goes to the cross? When he was having a meal with his friends, he takes a cup and he says, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. which is poured out for you. A new covenant, a new agreement that those who believe in Jesus will not perish, will not be condemned by God, but will have eternal life with Him. And so, as we did last Sunday, when we took part in communion, we take the cup, we take the bread, and we remind ourselves of this new covenant, don't we? Taking part in communion, reminding ourselves of that new covenant, is a way of helping us keep trusting in God. See, friends, God gives us crutches to keep believing in Him, to strengthen our faith, to grow our faith. He gives us His word, the big picture, a relationship. He gives blasts from the past. He reveals the plan. He cuts even a covenant to commit Himself. God doesn't have to do all this, but He does. Why? Because He knows that it is hard for us. We are weak. We find so often that our faith is wobbly and weak. So what does He do? He gives us crutches. Because He wants to help us to keep believing in Him until we die or until He comes back in glory. So I wonder which crutch that you might need this morning. Maybe one or two, maybe all of them. I'm going to give us a couple of moments for you to just think about this and reflect, and maybe ask God to help you to pick one or two of these and to help you to grow in this area. So let's do that for a couple of minutes and then I'll pray. Heavenly Father, we give You great thanks and praise for who You are, a great sovereign God. Lord, we are so thankful that You know us. You know us, and Lord, You know our weaknesses, our struggles. Even now, You know our hearts, the areas that we need to trust in You. And perhaps the disappointments that we might have had, the doubts that we might have entertained. Lord, we are so thankful, Lord, that You know all this and You don't leave us to rot in those seasons. You help us. You send Your word. Lord, You give us opportunities to have a relationship with You. Lord, you even give us the big picture. You reveal the plan. You show us the past, how You have been faithful. And Lord, you even cut a covenant with us, showing how committed You are. And so, Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters who are here this morning, Lord, that you help us to hold on to these crutches that You have so graciously given us, so that our faith will grow and stay and remain strong. And Lord, we pray and ask this for Your glory. In Jesus' name, Amen.